Just by way of introduction this morning, I've been considering, I want to consider with you today the topic of gold. If we were to turn back to the beginning chapters of our Bible in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 12, there in that record of creation in the paradise of Eden, we find there is a river. It flows out of it and it goes into four parts. And there in Genesis chapter 2 and 12, we would read the first part goes through the land of Havilah. And the scripture there says plainly that there is gold. And God adds further there in that chapter, the gold of that land is good. And God, who in creation uses that word good many times on each day of creation, and there on that seventh day, when he speaks of it as being very good, we trace it through there, understand there is something to be learned here when the Bible speaks of gold. And so there's something precious, really, that we're learning, even from the beginning of creation, in terms of the subject of gold. And no surprise, then, that throughout the ages of history, mankind has desired and counted gold as something that is precious. And it's been valued, it's been treasured, it's been stolen, it's been fought for. People have died over gold. You go back and you think about in history, I think it was January 1948, when gold was discovered in California in the gold rush. And everybody swarmed out there. It's estimated 300,000 people swarmed out to California with the idea of just scooping up gold and having their life changed by something like that. Or we can think of something like the athlete who strives for the podium. Oh, they may be happy with silver or bronze, but what are they wanting? They're wanting that which is gold, to be crowned triumphant. But let's leave all those physical examples behind today. What does the scripture teach us as believers in the scripture of the Bible of gold from a spiritual perspective? And I trust that's going to be of greater value to each one of us than the things of this world. Gold, pure gold that speaks to us so vividly of the Savior, of God Himself, that which describes His character, His glory, the deity and the majesty and the glory of God Himself. It is gold. And I want to turn just in time to the four different passages and I think draw out some lessons for each of us as believers. And I trust it's going to encourage us, maybe going to correct us, and I trust instruct us and challenge us as we consider what it means, the topic of gold in the life of the believer. We're going to turn first of all to the book of Revelation and chapter 3. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. To the church at Laodicea, just reading at verse 17. We're just going to break into the story. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. In this last of the seven letters here in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 to the churches of Asia, gold we're going to link here to the spiritual wealth of the believer. It is the Lord, of course, who stands in the midst of these seven churches there in Asia. It is the Lord who knows, the Lord who is going to judge righteously and fairly as He views and considers all that is going on in that place. I think you need to agree with me that the church at Laodicea is a sad place. Beyond sad, really a tragic place. Why? They're not even seeing their own need. Not even recognizing the condition that they are in. They said, we are rich. We are increased. We have need of nothing. Oh, they were self-absorbed. They were self-confident. And the Lord says, I know. I see. It's not like that at all. And He says, you're miserable. He says, you're to be pitied. He says, you're like a beggar in your poverty. He says, you're unclothed in your appearance. And he says, you're without any vision at all. You're blind. But the Lord does not leave them just in that place of condemnation, as the Lord does not leave us in that way. But he's going to give them counsel. And that's what I want to focus on just at the opening part in this first passage of Revelation chapter 3. The words there in the beginning of verse 18, the counsel, the advice to these ones. Because in each of these passages, there's a question that we must ask ourselves. And here the first question is this. Spiritual wealth. How can it be enriched? How can spiritual wealth be enriched? And the answer is, by gold. Buy of me gold. The answer to independence, the answer to spiritual bankruptcy is Christ himself. And here in this chapter, in chapter 1, sorry, the Lord, in chapter 1, in that vision that John sees, he's girded about, remember, with a golden girdle. And in that vision that John sees, there is that which awes him to the point to which he falls at the feet of the Lord. Falls in humility, yes, but also falls in worship before the Lord. Humbled yet worshipful. And so the answer is yes. Spiritual wealth can be enriched. The source is the Lord himself. He says, buy of me. The substance is going to be gold. But you'll notice not just any gold will do. Not just any gold is going to satisfy, is going to enrich. Here the Lord says, buy of me gold. But it's gold that's been tried in the fire. It's been refined. All of the dross, all of the impurities, all of the additives that will mar its value, it's all been removed. It's all been taken away. And so there is a purity of that which is going to be obtained there of the Lord. If we think of these Laodiceans, physically, of course, in their life, they were engaged in going to the market. They would physically have gone to buy things there in the market, and they were going to purchase what they thought was valuable. So physically, they went to a market. Physically, that transaction was going to be conducted with another individual. But sadly, physically, what they received might not have been pure. Oh, they would have prided themselves on, yes, knowing if something was pure or not, or if it had been tampered with. But the Lord is going to use that analogy, I would understand, here in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 3. And he says to these believers there in the assembly at Laodicea, he says, you're striving for things. You're wanting things. You're seeking after. You're thinking of physical wealth and you're striving for it. But he says, no. I says, I counsel of thee. This is my advice. It's more than just advice. It's a command really of God. He says, buy of me gold that has been tried in the fire. It is gold that is going to enrich spiritual wealth. It is where the true riches are to be found. We think of the words of Colossians chapter 2, where we read, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. But you ask this question, well, that's good. The advice is here. It seems a little abstract to me. How is it going to be applied in my life and in yours? How are they going to be obtained? Where am I going to buy it? You may say this. The Lord has just spoken to these believers as poor and wretched and blind and miserable. How are those that are in this condition of poverty, how are they supposed to buy anything? How are they supposed to obtain something as valuable as gold tried in the fire? Well, I would turn your attention to the book of Isaiah 55 and verse 1. There, I'll just quote it for you. It will say this, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And you say, well, still, that doesn't seem to provide me with the the practical life of how I'm supposed to obtain this. If you read a little further down to verse 3 is going to say this: incline your ear and come unto me. There's the secret, if it is a secret at all, really to how we're going to obtain this spiritual wealth. The Lord says here in Revelation 3, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He says to the nation of Israel, and by extension to you and I today, incline your ear and come unto me. What is the price? The price is going to be our attention to him. The price is going to be our adherence to him and to his word, leaving aside the world's distractions. You know as well as I do, they will not satisfy. They will not satisfy for eternity. They will not enhance or enrich spiritual wealth. It cannot. Because the Lord says, buy of me. Not of the world. Not of the world's systems. And those words come forcibly to us from Isaiah 55. Incline your ear and come unto me. And with this, these believers were going to lay up treasure in heaven. There's going to be the true riches, those things, again in Colossians, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And to those that were miserable, blind, in poverty, to those that were self-absorbed and self-confident, who said they had need of nothing, the Lord says, give your attention to me. Incline your ear. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. So the question, spiritual wealth, can it be enriched? The answer is, by gold. We're going to turn back now to the second book in our Bible, the book of Exodus, and chapter 35 for our next reading. Book of Exodus, chapter 35. And we'll just begin reading it at verse 4. Exodus 35 and verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold. And then there's the rest of what is going to be given there for the tabernacle, the silver, the brass, the blue, and so on as the verses continue. As we work through the book of Exodus, and particularly in chapter 25, you're going to find the expression twice, the words of the Lord to Moses, after the pattern, after the pattern. And Moses, therefore, with that responsibility that has been given to him, with that responsibility having been shown by God, the intention, the desire, the plan of God for his people. The plan of God for them to have a structure, to have a place where he was going to dwell with them. God's desire, amazingly, wonderfully, to be with his people, to be in the midst of his people. And now where we have come in Exodus chapter 35, Moses, of course, has gone up the Mount Sinai. He has returned down to the people. He's come with the two tables of testimony. And God's word is now going to be communicated to the people. God's word is now going to be distributed out to the congregation of Israel there that day. The tabernacle is about to be constructed. And here we have the instruction by God to Moses, now to the people. And it's the instruction that we find here in verse 5 of Exodus 35. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring gold. If you look down the chapter at verse 20, we'll read there again. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, of the congregation for all his service, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. Look at the end of verse 22. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. The response was immediate. The instruction went out. Those with a willing heart, let him bring. And the response, as we see there in verse 21, was immediate. There were hearts that were stirred. There were spirits that were willing. There were hands that were now full, and they were going to be emptied for the purposes of God, for giving to the things of the Lord. I was just thinking again of those delightful words there in verse 21 or 22, is it? It is the Lord's. Verse 21, they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. They recognized whose it was. They recognized the significance of that which they were doing there as they presented their gift for the purpose of the building of the tabernacle. I want to link this passage to the believer in relation to gold in this way, in terms of our spiritual worship. And the question we must ask ourselves in this chapter of Exodus 35 is, our spiritual worship, how can it be enhanced? Revelation chapter 3, we were considering our spiritual wealth and how can it be enriched? By gold. Here now in Exodus 35, we're considering this question, our spiritual worship, how can it be enriched? And the answer is given. Bring gold. Bring gold. Allow the application in that manner. For the Israelites, you remember physically again, that gold that they brought was going to be used in a most beautiful manner for the construction of the tabernacle that God may dwell with his people. You remember then the fashioning of those items there in the furniture, some of them were made of gold. But there were those that were made of pure gold. That which again is going to speak to us of the glory, the majesty of the Savior, and of God himself. There was the ark. It was overlaid with pure gold. There was the mercy seat. It was pure gold. There was the candlestick, and it was pure gold. And so on, you can trace it through on your own time. That material that points us to God in and of himself. Not so much it's going to tell us of God's action toward us. Not much going to speak to us of God's activity on behalf of his people. But it is God himself. That pure gold, his glory, his majesty, his deity. But bring it back to ourselves today. And it's the application of John chapter 4. As the Lord spoke to that woman, the Father is seeking worshipers. The Father is seeking those who are going to come to him. And so the question again returns to us this morning. Can my spiritual worship be enhanced? Can yours? You put it this way, can it grow? Is it possible for spiritual worship to deepen, to be more exalting of our God and of our Savior? What's the request that we find, and we want to apply it in this manner in Exodus 35? Let him bring gold. Bring gold. It is occupation with him. Think of those familiar words that we have of Joseph as he sent his brethren back to his father. Tell my father of all my glories there in Egypt. No, we come, of course, and there is a time for thanksgiving, appreciating all what God has done in our life and what we have received. But more so, it's that worship that exalts God himself. That worship that is going to exalt the Lord for who he is. Back in our chapter, when you look at the next chapter actually, in chapter 36, it's significant that there is going to be a limitation to the physical. Let's look at chapter 36 and reading at verse 5. Verse 4, sorry. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made, And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and was too much. Do you find it amazing, maybe significant, that for a dwelling place for God Himself, there came a time when physically they had to be restrained? They said, we have enough. The people were restrained from their willingness to give. There was sufficient, there was too much. And I find that incredible. But again, dear brethren and sisters, it should not be a surprise to us, because this is just physical. A physical representation there. And it has a measure, it's going to have a limit. Oh, but what of your spiritual worship in your life? In mine. Is there going to be a limit? Is there going to be too much? Is there going to be the time in which God is going to say to you and to I, that's too much? And you and I are going to be restrained in our worship. Oh, the spiritual is exhaustless. Absolutely exhaustless. And brethren and sisters, today as we have come, and particularly on a Lord's Day morning, I trust we can answer the question, what have I brought today? Have I brought gold? Gold in the worship of our God. Brought gold for the heart of God. Bring gold. It's the answer that we find, or how our spiritual worship can be enhanced. These people here knew what it was to have a willing heart. Verse 21, their heart was stirred up. Their spirit was willing. Their hands were full of the things that they were going to bring there for the purposes of building the tabernacle. May you and I know what it is to desire that our spiritual worship might be enhanced. It's possible. How? But only if we bring gold. I know just in application here, I'm considering just the one aspect of the offering that was given. Of course, there is much that's going to speak of Christ in many other ways, in the blue and the scarlet and the ramskins and the silver and the brass. Of course, those are much that we can think of. Some of those things are going to speak more of His work on behalf of this world, on behalf of us. But the gold, I think, it just brings us to the occupation of with God Himself. And maybe know what it is to have our spiritual worship enhanced. Brethren and sisters, let us bring gold. We're going to turn to our third passage, and we're going to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 11. Here to the assembly in Corinth, these words are written. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In Revelation chapter 3, we were seeking the answer to the question, can spiritual wealth be enriched? And the answer is from the Lord, to buy of me gold tried in the fire. In Exodus 35, we're seeking to answer the question, can my spiritual worship be enhanced, be enriched? And the answer is to bring gold in my worship for Him and of Him. And to the assembly at Corinth, many fundamental truths were given to them and were written and were revealed. Just by way of introduction to this chapter, as we work through it, you'll find in this chapter great many truths. For example, at the beginning, we're going to see that there is growth that is expected. There is a time when these believers fed on milk, but now it should be that they were feeding on the meat of the Word of God. And so there was growth that was expected. Moving down the chapter, we can see that their service was exemplified for them. And we're taught there that we are laborers together. But being laborers together, let us not forget that it's only the Lord who gives the increase to any of those things. And so growth expected, service exemplified. At the end of the chapter, godliness is expressed. The temple of God is holy. And in between these three truths, we have where we have read this morning, and we're pointed forward to a future day where what is going to occur in that day is determined by today. What is going to occur there at the judgment seat of Christ, that day of review, what is going to occur at that place is determined by today. And so, here we have read now of building. It's being exposed. Not growth expected or service exemplified or godliness expected, but it's our building that is exposed. The foundation, verse 11, is complete. But you and I are building upon that foundation. And here in relation to the believer, as we consider the topic of gold in the life of the believer, our focus is not on our spiritual wealth or on spiritual worship, but it's going to be on our spiritual work. And the question is this. We're seeking to answer this question. How can it endure? How can spiritual work endure? Will it endure? Will it last? You know, just as an aside, whenever I fly on a Boeing plane with the family and I see certain airplane parts, I make it a bit of a joke with the children. And I say, you see that part, that door there by the front of the plane? Well, I know what materials are in that door. I know what size of bolt is used to hold that onto the plane. I even know the name of a person who probably applied those bolts to that part. And you know, they built it in an area that I designed and I put together. And by now, of course, the children are tired of it. They still laugh once in a while. But you know, parts change. And people retire. And the design that I created has grown obsolete. It has not endured. And that's only 5 years ago. It has not endured the test of time. It has not endured even for a few years. Come again to our passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If any man build upon this foundation, gold. What is going to endure? How is my spiritual work going to endure, going to last? Only if it is that which is gold, silver, precious stones. It's going to be revealed by fire. We see there in the next couple of verses. Work is going to be tried with fire. And so 1 Corinthians teaches me the answer to the question, how will spiritual work endure? It's only if I've been building gold. Only if that which I have used in the construction upon the foundation which is Christ, that which is lasting, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, it's going to take effort. It's going to be that which is costly. It's going to require the correct motive, the correct attitude from you and from me. Of course, those are building materials that don't come easily. They're building materials that cannot be made, cannot be manufactured. And I trust today we know what it is. to build gold, that which will endure. Important that our contribution to our local assembly is going to be that which is of lasting eternal value. It's going to be revealed by the Lord Himself, that which I have sought to do in labor for Him. Oh, there's growth that's required, yes. Service for Him, necessary. Godliness, absolutely, in this chapter. But as well, our service is going to be seen by Him. Not viewed by others, though we do see what others are building with. But it's truly going to be revealed, exposed by the Lord there that day in the future. Gold, that tells us of that matchless majesty of the Savior. That which speaks of Him and His deity and His glory. Am I building these things into those around me and into the local assembly? Will my spiritual work endure? Will yours? It can, if I am building gold. Amy Carmichael is reported to have said these words, and let's quote it for you. She says this: the work will never go deeper than what we have gone ourselves. Those things, that gold, the silver, the precious stones, that which needs to be unearthed and taken, it's going to take effort and consistency in the life of the believer. Am I going after the deep things of God, seeking after those things of Himself? We were thinking on Tuesday evening of that verse there from Matthew. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, and the Father the Son. But yet there is that which is going to be revealed. The Son's going to be able to reveal to those that are seeking after it. Are we going after that which is gold, that it might be built into the house of God? The house of God, which is precious to Him. And so we're taught now to build gold, setting forth the glories of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual work, can it endure? Definitely, but only if we're building gold. Finally, I want to turn back to the Old Testament, and we're going to turn to the book of Job and chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And we'll just read verse 10. Job is speaking, and he says these words: but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I know the way. He knoweth, the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When we think of Job, that great example of patience, that great example of trust under some of the harshest of trials. The book of James would remind us, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. The story, of course, is familiar, I believe, to everyone here. Job, as he endures such. And the question we're going to ask ourselves from Job chapter 23 in relation to gold and life of the believer is this: our spiritual walk, how will it end? Our spiritual walk, how will it end? And of course, we could have turned to the example of Enoch, the one who walked with God and was taken. But just in keeping with this theme of gold in the life of the believer, we're going to just focus for a few moments on the life of Job. And Job gives us this insight. How will a spiritual walk end? Well, we can become as gold. We can become as gold. Have you thought of that? What a glorious end that Job was thinking of here. What a glorious end for the believer to become as gold. Individually, to be as gold. Oh, but let's stop for a moment. Before we become enraptured with that thought of becoming as gold, I'm sure you would be, as I have. Notice what it says, particularly in that verse. Look at how that comes to pass. Look at how it comes to pass. It says there, when he hath tried me. Oh, it's gold for sure there in the life, the spiritual walk. But it's gold without the dross. It is gold without the impurities. It is a spiritual walk, yes, has a wonderful end, and it can have, but it's only as that walk has been through the refining fire. And I wonder if I shrink back from that. Oh, my salvation secure? Absolutely. My future everlasting in God's presence? Definitely. And yet my walk not characterized by the word spiritual. How can a spiritual walk end? And if my claim is that it is a spiritual walk and that I want a spiritual walk, if I am striving for that, then I should expect to be tried. In fact, I need to be tried. And so do you. And you must be as well. Job says here, in the midst of the book, in the midst of some of the greatest trials, as he considers, and all of those friends heap their coals of fire on his head, really. And he's dealing with all of these circumstances. He says, he knows me. He knows the way I'm going. And he says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. After the greatest of trials there, after the greatest of testing for Job, what came forth at the end was more pure than where we started at the beginning. You know, we don't have the record of what God says at the end of the life of Job. But at the beginning, of course, you remember, hast thou considered my servant Job? You would have thought there was nothing left to purify in the life of Job, nothing left that could have been brought to be more glorifying to God. And yet Job recognizes here in the midst of the book, in the midst of his trials, I shall come forth as gold. And that tells me, dear believer, at the end, when we come to the end of the life of Job, there was that which was more valuable. There was that which was more pure. Such a tremendous example for you and I today of the example of the man Job, our spiritual walk. How will it end? We are reminded that we can become gold. God is glorified in the life. The end was gold. And we were reminded of becoming as gold. Again, to pick up a quote from another person, the gold does not fear the fire. Why? Because when it comes forth, it just has made it more pure, more valuable, to shine more brighter. If we go back to where we started in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. That pure gold that speaks of him. And do you find it amazing? At the end of a spiritual walk, we can be characterized by something that speaks of God himself, to become as gold. Oh, I trust today I'm going to value, and each of us are going to value the teaching on gold in the life of the believer, the spiritual valuation. Oh, yes, there's the things of the physical that attract us or distract us. I trust its outline then is going to be of edification and of encouragement to each one. To recognize what it is. Gold in the life of the believer. Spiritual wealth, it can be enriched. But only if I buy gold. Our spiritual worship, it can be enhanced. But only if I bring gold. My spiritual work, it can endure. But only if I build with gold. My spiritual walk, can end well by becoming as gold. May God help us all to value that which speaks of God Himself, His glory, His majesty, His holiness, His righteousness, the pure gold of God Himself. May these words then just encourage our hearts today as you recognize the truths of what God would desire for you and I, gold in the life of the believer. May God bless His word. Shall we pray?